Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for January 18th, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a ton of stuff to talk about this week, so let's dive right in. And I think we got to kick things off with, we got a couple trailers this week, but we got to kick it off with, I think, a trailer for, like, I think probably one of our most anticipated movies of the year, I think, or a lot of people's most anticipated movie of the year, which is Willy's Wonderland.
Oh boy!
Which I think we first heard about last year, possibly. It was last year, like late 2019 or something. But it's basically Five Nights at Freddy's with Nicolas Cage.
Yep. And it's like the premise was okay. You like how Five Nights at Freddy is now? Make Nick Cage from like Drive Angry be in it.
Yeah, it looks like literally like. Like Nicolas Cage like drove off the set of Drive Angry. He's got the same like leather jacket. He's in a muscle car. Like maybe he's Drive Angry like Escape from Hell again or something. But he's playing a character called Janitor. His car breaks down, and some sort of sleazy like sheriff or like boss hog esque person like is like, if you clean up Willy's Wonderland tonight, then we'll fix your car or whatever. But it's like really like they're like sacrificing him to like the evil animatronic animals that like come to life at night in Willy's Wonderland and like kill people.
It's like apparently in that community, like it's a thing, you know. It's not like, oh, this is the first time it's happened. It's just,
yeah,
it's always been happening. It's built up like a lore, and
they gotta, like, yeah, they like, yeah, appease the robots so they don't like kill the town people or something. Like,
I guess it is like a sacrifice thing.
But yeah, obviously because it's Nicolas Cage, like he goes unleashes the rage cage and like starts like destroying the robots. And there's a bunch of like random teenagers in there too, just like doing horror movie teenager stuff. So,
I don't know what kind of like horrible things they're doing because they just want to get rid of this like terrible place.
Mm-hmm.
So like they're not really the villain. They're like another movie's character.
They're just like a bunch of like just like people for like the robots to kill before like his cage can take them out.
Right. Yeah, they're definitely like the fodder. I think it's more like the spunky, like curious teens, the teen vigilantes, but they're just not likable, like, straight off the bat. Like, especially when the main star is Nick Cage, and it's just like, they are horror movie fodder that just shows up, and, like, they're a bunch of no-name actors.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you'll feel anything for them right now. But who knows in the movie if they actually be, like, fun characters.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I get some Mandy vibes. It doesn't look as like visually insane as Mandy, but like definitely like Nick Cage, kind of like it seems like he has sort of the same energy level as Mandy of just like just completely like freaking out and like unleashing the rage and like just like going nuts on robots. Like,
yeah. The one thing I don't like is that this is just one night. I would prefer this movie was like a whole weekend of Nick Cage like kind of figuring out what to do and then not be like a Die Hard situation. But how big is this building where basically there's all this room to hide? Because some shots make it seem like it's just two rooms.
I mean, it's like a Chuck E. Cheese sized place, I guess.
Even then, maybe because I've been to like rinky dink Chuck E. Cheese's and it's just like the size of like a garage. It's like two garages, but mm-hmm. it's never like a complex. you know, where there's so much room to go. In this movie, it's like, and this like Willy's Wonderland is like the size of like a TGIF. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So again, I definitely am interested to see what they do with the limited space and how they set it up. The concept alone is what sells me. I'm just critiquing things that, like, it just bothers me about the layout of the building, especially when one man can clean this in a night. That's the job. And it's like, how big is this place where a man is cleaning one restaurant?
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be February 12th in, what I guess, select theaters, if there's any theaters open, plus digital and on-demand, which is probably the main place everyone's going to be able to check it out. So, yeah, definitely, like, looking forward to this one next month. It's I feel like we're in like a cage-a-sance. Like, there, like, Nicolas Cage, like, kind of like comes in waves of like just like back-to-back classics and then like just horribleness. But like, I feel like recently, like, Nick Cage is, he's been firing all cylinders, like Spider-Verse and Mandy and Colorado Space, and I feel like there's like one or like two other ones, but like, oh, Jiu-Jitsu, like yeah, it, like Nicolas Cage has just been like full, like on fire recently. So hopefully this will like continue that trend. And the other trailer we got is also kind of like another like crazy looking concept, and another like an actor that we're huge fans of. So we finally got the first trailer for Boss Level, which I think it was announced in 2017. It was supposed to come out in 2019. Finally coming out in March this year on Hulu. It's going to be a Hulu exclusive. And this is the last movie from Joe Carnahan, who I'm trying to remember what the last actual like Joe Carnahan movie was, because it's been quite a while. I think he was working on like TV shows maybe or something. But yeah, he was like directing like The Blacklist and stuff. But like, yeah, the last actual movie that he had was Stretch in 2014. So it's been quite a while.
Yeah, I actually like Stretch.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
and it's definitely a director that knows how to set up action. It's the other parts that have to hook you, like the gimmick parts.
Yeah.
So, the Boss Level seems fun on a level for, you know, for people that like video games, people like Groundhog's Day type movies. There's the whole like Edge of Tomorrow vibe I get from it, where like Grillo is basically becoming a better soldier.
Yeah. So Frank Grillo is He plays a guy named Roy Pulver, who is a Special Forces soldier, or former Special Forces soldier, who he gets caught in a time loop on the day that he's murdered, and he basically comes to find out that there's some sort of like government project run by like an evil colonel who's played by Mel Gibson, that is causing like this time loop, and it has some sort of nefarious, like, Mel Gibson is, like, trying to take over the world, possibly, or something, or he has some sort of evil plot going on. So basically, Frank Grillo has to, like, every time he dies, he goes back to the beginning of the day, and then he's got to just figure out a way to, like, survive the day and, like, stop Mel Gibson and, like, stop the loop. You know, like, classic time loop stuff, like, figure out a way, like, yeah, like, get your skills better and then stop the loop from happening somehow. And there's a bunch of like Smoking Aces-esque like assassins after him, like Will Sasso is one of the assassins, and like Rashad Evans and Rampage Jackson are like these like German twins, and and then a bunch of like random people are in this movie, like Ken Jeong and like Rob Gronkowski are also like
Annabelle just supporting Wallace.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah, a bunch of like supporting people, and like Naomi Watts is Frank Grillo's like ex-wife, who I think is like seems like she's somehow involved in the project, this like time loop project, time travel project, whatever this is that's going on.
It's good because the trailer does show you a lot of action. I just think maybe like sometimes it just feels like they're showing me the climax fights.
Yeah.
And that's the one critique I have with the trailer, but the premise is fun because at least it doesn't tell me why this is happening or you know, the magical MacGuffin that is, like, oh, is this a sequel to Source Code? Like, whatever weird alternate thing.
I also feel like they're having, like, the like some of the fun of, like, Happy Death Day, too, where it's just, like Frank Grillo just gets, like, just crazy deaths happening to him. Like, he gets his, like, head chopped off and thrown down stairs and, like, gunned down and, like, thrown out of buildings and, like, blown up in cars. It's, like, every sort of, like, crazy death you could have. Oh, and also, we forgot to mention, Michelle Yeoh is his, he basically, like, one of the assassins is, like, a sword expert. So, basically, like, Frank Grillo, like, finds his own sword expert and, like, she trains him to be, like, a katana master.
Again, down for it. I just wish the font was better, because Boss Level makes it seem like they spent all the money on the movie and the filming, and then on the font, they're just like, I don't know, people like Ready Player One, we'll just use that font.
Yeah, this we talked about it before the podcast started recording, but like the look of the trailer is like kind of like, it's definitely like wacky, like it has like a wacky sense of humor and stuff, but it's not like Scott Pilgrim or something where it's like crazy colorful stuff. It's like kind of like it's kind of like a little like grayed out and like realistic, even though like crazy time travel stuff's happening. But then the font of the trailer is like it's like pixels or something. It's just like it's like just wet goofy font that like doesn't really like match, like I guess it matches the tone because like a video, like it's like a video game, but like. It's not like there's like scores, like it's not like Frank Grillo's in a video game or something where it's like there's like scores popping up or something, or it's not like
Scott Pilgrim, right. If they were trying to incorporate more of a video game title, like a video game concept with a title like Boss Level,
yeah,
maybe it's one of those things where the better he kills, like the more perks he gets,
yeah, or something, or like have like, you know, like power-ups or something, or you know, like
just combos, like, where yeah, you know, it's something where he has to keep killing or he'll lose like a special ability.
Yeah,
I don't know, I'm just thinking like maybe that's what they're hiding in the movie, they just don't want to tell us yet, or
that it actually is a video game or something.
Yeah, it's more of a video game than we think, but I feel like this was the first second trailer, like the more theatrical trailer.
This is the only trailer I know has ever come out right now. So,
and this movie's been in development for like 3 years, lost in development for 3 years. So,
yeah,
I don't know. They kind of really reworked everything. Again, I'm stuck on the title on this one. It's just like, why would they call it Boss Level if it's like not a video game, or if it is a video game, like it's very clever. I'm just like, I gotta see. But down for it, you know, it's on Hulu. Can't really go wrong. Can't go wrong when it's just a streaming video, like. This isn't the movie that's gonna like bring people back to the theaters.
No. But you can watch it March 5th on Hulu. So definitely, if you don't have Hulu, grab that before this comes out, and you can grab that Disney Plus bundle. You can get Hulu and Disney Plus and ESPN Plus for like $13 a month, which is a pretty crazy deal. So, I think the price of that might be going up like a dollar or two at some point. But
of course.
Just like Netflix this week, like I think like everything got up like everything went up like $2 or something. So
I think it's a dollar. Like every 2 years, it's just been going up a dollar.
Yeah,
I think I'm paying like $14 for Netflix.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, moving on to some other news. We got some news this week. I believe it's from a Liam Neeson interview, because he had a new movie, I think it was last weekend actually, it came out in like in whatever theaters that were available, plus I think it's like a PVOD release, but like The Marksman is his new like action movie. He basically revealed in this interview that he apparently Seth MacFarlane has talked to him, or like is like wants him to like star in a remake of The Naked Gun.
I mean, first of all, why? But second of all, down for more Naked Gun. Only because I just want to see if it's like something that can be rebooted.
Yeah. I feel like Liam Neeson could definitely do the same sort of straight man in like just in like crazy over the like he could do like Leslie Nielsen, like he's like Liam Neeson's taking everything like deadly serious, but like it's just all like just nonsense around him.
Yeah, I could see basically the premise of Naked Gun was that basically Frank Drebin really never like cracks jokes. Like he's always the straight laced person in a world that's gone like bonkers.
Yeah.
So Liam Neeson, of course, is known for being the rough and gruff, just like direct person. So I could see Liam Neeson trying to break into a comedy and just make fun of like himself and, you know, be like an older action star, but it's like more of a fun action star, comedy action star.
Yeah, like it'd be fun if he was like, if Liam Neeson was like just in like his like usual like action like Taken mode or whatever, and then but then like everything else around him is like just nonsense.
Yeah, yeah. Like again, The Naked Gun is definitely a movie for like a certain type of like comedy fan, because it's either you love it or you hate it. There's no middle ground. Mm-hmm. So Liam Neeson in certain roles like this, where you either love the concept or you just are like, I just don't want to see that, because some of his other movies are just Naked Gun movies. Like, what was it, like The Commuter?
Oh, gee.
See what I mean? Like, it's not great action. It's just like, why is this happening? And that's like a Naked Gun movie, too. Or Nonstop. Nonstop to me was like an Naked Gun concept.
But they were, I mean, those are all like supposed to be
serious action. Yeah. Right. But I mean, just certain moments are just kind of laughing at just like how absurd what's going on. So it's like, okay, if they lean into it, I could see it. You know, I have the imagination to see Liam Neeson be that kind of action star, but then just bonkers stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, here's the important question. Will they get O.J. Simpson back for this reboot? Because he needs work.
Yeah.
Or what other star? Rampage Jackson? Just put him in that, too?
Yeah.
Norbert? Mm. I don't care about, you know, Liam Neeson now. I'm just like, who is the Norbert character?
Well, I don't know if he'd be like a direct, like if they would like remake that all like the same like plot as like the original Naked Gun or something.
Why not have redo number two where he has a stop like a Chicago Cubs game? A very absurd like super 80s or was it like late 80s early 90s like gimmick of just stopping a baseball game. Because not Reggie Jackson. One of the baseball players actually was a real baseball player that was in it. Mm-hmm. That part was fun. Another thing is, like, can I watch a Naked Gun movie without Weird Al in it?
I mean, I'm sure he would be down to come do something.
Yeah, that's like a tradition, was Weird Al in the first two, like the second and third movie. I don't think Weird Al was in the first movie.
Well, he did, I'm thinking of, like, a different, like, he did, like a Bond parody theme song. Was that for one of the Naked
Guns? That was Spy Hard.
Okay, that was Spy Hard, yeah.
Which was basically Naked Gun again.
Yeah. But yeah, who knows? We'll wait and see if anything happens with this. I mean, Seth MacFarlane apparently just does whatever he wants now. So
yeah, I mean, he for every like good show he makes, he always has to like risk it with something, some new concept.
Yeah.
But then he took a break from making movies, and now he's back at it again. Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently the Orville's good, although like because I just bailed on that within three episodes, but I've heard like they basically gave up, like I guess it still has like comedic elements, but it's basically just a Star Trek show now. Like it's just like straight up like Star Trek show. It's not like it's not like a parody of Star Trek anymore. It's just like we're Star Trek now.
It's just like their own like actual adventure in space without like a fun gimmick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like think it like ran dry. Like they just went, oh shit, we're running out of concepts. And but it's more enjoyable comedy sci-fi show than like Discovery.
That's what I heard a lot of people say. Like Orville's better like Star Trek show than like anything that's on CBS All Access right now.
Yeah, they might try to force in a joke or two, but certain episodes are like just fun. Like I've seen a bunch of clips, and the concepts are like, you know where they're paying homage to, but like they do their own unique thing at the end. So it's like, oh, okay, I'm actually like watching this like trying too hard sci-fi show.
But yes, I guess we'll have to wait and see if anything happens with that. I think Liam Neeson said he's gonna also retire from action again now. So again? I guess we'll
see how long it lasts.
Like, well, I think this is probably more of a comedy, so I don't think that probably wouldn't count as like an action movie. I think The Marksman now is like his last action movie he's doing. So, but we'll have to see. He said that like at the end of like what, like Nonstop or something, or like Walk Among Tombstones or something. Or the time he said like I'm gonna be done with the action movies, and he made like Commuter and Honest Thief and the Snowplow one, whatever. I can't remember the name of that one from last year or like 2 years ago, but
I forgot the Snowplow one. See, the Snowplow one was like a Naked Gun thing.
Well, that one actually was like, they didn't show it in the trailer, but oh, Cold Pursuit. But that one actually was like more of like a black comedy. Like the trailers made it seem like it was like an actual like just like regular Liam Neeson action movie, but it was like it definitely was more like Fargo or something. But anyway, moving on to some other news. We got some potentially exciting news for HBO Max. They might be looking into like doing a sequel series to Batman the Animated Series. It's like an HBO Max original exclusive. So like a new animated series, not like Batman Beyond, but like kind of like still in like probably a few years after Batman the Animated Series, like it'll still be like Batman in his prime and like Nightwing and Batgirl and Robin and all that stuff going on. So
it's like before Justice League or after Justice League. I'm confused about the timeline sometimes.
Yeah.
Because it makes it seem like it was Batman, New Adventures of Batman, like Batman, the Animated Series, the New Adventures of Batman, and then was it Batman and Superman Hour?
Yeah.
And then it was like Justice League, which then reverted some Batman lore because...
Well, there's Justice League Unlimited, and then Batman Beyond, I think, is like the timeline, right?
Yeah, that's a timeline, because then they did a crossover where Justice League Unlimited did a conclusion episode for Batman Beyond, which was like one of the best, like, oh, it sends it off on a nice note. So even then, it's like we're going back and filling up chapters, but I think at this point, like, is Joker dead? Like, when you know, like, how much are they aging it up where maybe Return of the Joker happened, Batman Beyond, Return of the Bat, that timeline? Because if Tim Drake is like a boy, like, oh, like he's gonna get, you know, he's gonna get screwed in that Joker sequence.
Yeah.
I'm down for it. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, like, I haven't seen a good Batman cartoon in a while.
I think the main thing would be, I mean, you'd have to get Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill back, right? Like if neither of those two were able to come back, like I don't know if you like it's not even worth doing it, I don't think.
I mean, it's hard because Mark Hamill really is trying to like do other things or not. I don't know. Mark Hamill's confusing. He's like, I want to do more things, and then he does things. He's like, I regret doing this. I want to be Luke. Nah, I don't want to be Luke anymore. And then after seeing the Mandalorian, he's like, I'll be Luke.
Yep.
Yeah, you kind of need that charisma they haven't passed the torch just yet, because it seems like both those guys, they tease that, you know, walking away gracefully.
Yeah, well, I guess the Killing Joke movie was like supposed to be like kind of like
the was last Mark Hamill in that.
They're both in it. That was like the big like thing of like they're back together again.
And then they should not have come back together at all. Like that movie is just you see it for the last part. I don't think you need to see all of that movie. Just skip to the last half hour.
Skip the entire like just awkward, insane Batgirl prequel or like prologue. Mm-hmm.
The out of nowhere drama sequence.
But so apparently Kevin Smith is the one who kind of like dropped this potentially happening. Like he was talking about on like the Fat Man Beyond podcast that he hosts. Like he said he's heard from like reliable sources that like Warner Media that like they're like trying to get the sequel made.
I mean, it's good. It's one of those things where, you know, that's just a perk for having HBO Max was watching the Batman, like.
Yeah, I mean, Batman Animated Series is on there now, and Batman Beyond's on there now. So because DC Universe is dead, so now HBO Max is DC Universe.
Is it that is official now?
Oh yeah, that was like at least a couple weeks ago. Like pretty much pretty much all DC stuff is on HBO Max now. Like all the animated movies. And yeah, Batman Animated Series, Batman Beyond.
Well, my thing is like, if you had a subscription to DC Universe, does it automatically just give you HBO Max for like?
I don't think so.
No, it's like, oh well, thank you for your money.
Yeah. Maybe like just let you keep going because now DC Universe is like just it's basically like Marvel Unlimited now. It's like a DC version of Marvel Unlimited where it's just comic books.
It sucks that DC had to get like a reality check for its like limited streaming service, but
yeah,
what happens next is pretty good. Like, you know, the HBO Max just it folded it in and everything just feels natural with all the other Warner Brother products and the DC movies they already have, but it definitely could be like retooled. I'm not sure if you really looked at the HBO Max app, but it's like it should be like curated a little bit if you want DC content, because it's like I try to look for other things. It's just like you're just bombarded with so much other stuff that I can't just easily find. Like I don't know, I'm comparing like Disney Plus, where it's like I want to find specifically like a certain category. It's like, okay, yeah, here's like all of it, like cool. But HBO Max, like I just want to see Batman, just like well
they got they have their hubs. They have like the DC hub that you have to go to, and then like they have like different categories in there.
Yeah, but if it's not it's like it's maybe because like on mobile it's fucking nightmare, but it's like if you're on a website, it's more of a better layout. That's my mm-hmm. complaint, where it's like, oh, what is this? At least when I was watching Disney Plus the first few times, like it was really easy to navigate, and we did a whole decade thing, and that was really mm-hmm. cool. And now I'm like, why is that not a feature in every mm-hmm. other streaming service? I want to see 90s everything. Like I want to have that, like, even though it's virtual, I want to have that feeling where I just look through like a video store and it's just all the cool shit I want to see that year, you know, or that new releases for that time.
Yeah.
And that would wow me more, especially when I see like what happened to DC Universe, and it's like, well, now it's here, so now it's like organized here. That'd be great. But yeah, it's like I gotta jump through hoops.
Well, speaking of DC HBO Max stuff, we also got some news this week that from Zack Snyder himself that said, according to him, the Snyder Cut of the Justice League is going to be 1 4-hour-long movie, which we originally heard from HBO Max that it was going to be like 4 1-hour episodes, so basically kind of like a mini series. Like they'd cut it up to like 4 episodes, but now it's gonna be one shot, 4 hours of Zack Snyder DC Justice League. It's craziness.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what fan is like, I wish I got more of this movie. And it's like, I get it streaming so you can take a break and whatnot, but goddamn, like, they just didn't want to, like, do an episode one, episode two, just full on 4 hours. That's the cinematic epic. Let's take that, Avengers, for being, like, almost 3 hours.
Well, I don't know. Like, this is only from Zack Snyder. He's saying this. Like, this is, like, HBO Max has not officially said anything yet.
No, but just the balls on that. It's like, I didn't want to break it up. It's not that. It's going to be this. This is my vision. It's like, your vision's 4 hours?
Yep. And possibly, like, if I don't know if it's going to, like, I would assume it has to go to like the MPAA and get possibly like re-rated or something. But like Zack Snyder's like, oh, it's going to be R-rated. Like, if this goes to, if you get this re-rated, it's going to be it's rated R probably. So
that makes sense, because if they want to use like the grittier tones and then maybe have blood,
yeah,
who knows? And then it's like, is it the Superman like dark suit? Is that what's like mature? It's like the world's not ready for the real life dark suit.
Yeah, I think there's a whole new like, possibly like the whole like the way they bring back Superman is gonna be totally different in this new version. Like, there's a lot more like of like the other characters, like just like way more Flash backstory stuff, and like more like Cyborg backstory stuff, and like apparently there was like so much stuff that was like cut. And then they filmed a few new things, and like did some new like special effects to that. But apparently there was like tons of footage that was just like not used, according to Zack Snyder. And then he's putting it all back in.
Okay, it's ambitious. I'll give him that. I'm glad it's on HBO Max, but
yeah,
it's imagine sitting in theaters for this movie again. That like
oh my
some
God.
People just like universally was just like very mediocre. And it's like, as much as they have new footage and new effects, the overall outline's still the same.
Like, mm-hmm.
It's Darkseid, they might have a cut to him, but he doesn't show up at the end. It's still gonna be Steppenwolf, I believe.
Yeah, but I think they redesigned Steppenwolf. Like, he has a new design that definitely looks better than the previous version. Yeah, we are gonna see Darkseid in some capacity. Like Martian Manhunter is gonna be in this movie, in some sort of cameo or something, or like in some role. But it's gonna be same skeleton, but like lots more stuff added on top of it.
That's the thing, yeah. It's like you might dice it up more, you might throw on a new dress on top of it, but it's still the same movie that some people just didn't like. So
yeah,
that's the risk. It's like, oh, there's more explanation. All right, that wasn't the problem. I think it was still like the overall what they were trying to do, like what the their big team up in Russia with no one around. You know, their one giant the Justice League fight that was still a beam in the sky.
Yeah. So. That's probably coming in March this year on HBO Max. So, you know, get ready, plan your bathroom breaks accordingly, and then strap yourself in for 4 hours of Justice League stuff.
Start writing your hate email now.
So, also, some more HBO Max news. We got our first look at the new Mortal Kombat movie, finally. I think Entertainment Weekly put out a bunch of images from the new Mortal Kombat, which is going to be one of the movies that is a theatrical / HBO Max release in April this year. And produced by James Wan. And yeah, just like a ton of new pictures of like Sub-Zero and Scorpion and Sonya, and like I think there's a new character called Cole Young, who has never been in any of the games before, but that's Louis Tan's character, and he's like the main character.
Oh, it's not Liu Kang?
No, he's not Liu Kang.
I thought he was Liu Kang. I was like,
yeah, right. I think everyone. Liu Kang is gonna be Ludi is in this movie, but he's played by, like Ludi Lin. He was like Zek in the Power Rangers reboot.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you got Kung Lao, you got Kano, you've got Jax, Sub Zero, Scorpion, Sonya Blade, Raiden, and yeah, it's gonna be R rated. Apparently it's gonna be some crazy. They're really doing some crazy fatalities and stuff. And it's gonna be like very true to the games apparently. So that's pretty awesome. Hopefully.
I'm just wondering how many, like, main characters are they just gonna kill off in fatalities, you know?
Yeah.
Like opening fight, Johnny Cage gets his neck broken again. You're like, oh, I guess Johnny Cage is on this movie.
It's gonna be like the original movie where it's just like a bunch of randos.
Around yeah, there. A bunch of like early MMA fighters getting their ass kicked.
But yeah, did you see any of the pictures, Chris? Like, did you like the look of what they're showing so far?
Yeah, they definitely know that if you're gonna do a Mortal Kombat movie, you better get the costumes right, you better get the casting right, you better get the attitude correct. Only because yeah. Now the expectations are way higher. I guess think about it, like Mortal Kombat the movie, that was only like 3 or 4 years after the game came out. It was like 95, so the game came out in 92. So, you know, they didn't know what was going to happen. And then, you know, Annihilation was Annihilation, and then that was like the stigma for a while. So if you're going to like reboot this, you definitely come strong. You definitely put the look into it, because we still don't know, like, I mean, again, we know it's a tournament fighting, so we want to see cool-ass action. And it's like, if they stray from that, then it's like immediately it's going to like become a bad film. Where it's like, oh, Mortal Kombat, it's not really about the fighting, it's about the friends that you made along the way. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But I think the big thing, like, they have, like, they've got, like, I think one of the like the best things about this new reboot hope is seems like is like they have like actual like legit like awesome martial arts guys in it. Like they got like Joe Taslim is playing Sub Zero, who was in like The Night Comes for Us and The Raid, and then they have like Hiroyuki Sanada is playing Scorpion, and then yeah, and Louis Tan, we know he's playing a original character. Like he's been in a bunch of awesome martial arts stuff, so.
Yeah, again, it's good that they started with, like, a good roster of actors that look good fighting. Mm-hmm. That is unbelievably important, or at least can make a convincing, like, stunt punch. Unlike What's-His-Face from Iron Fist, where it's like, oh, we took this actor and made him, like, a martial artist. We're like, you guys shouldn't have rushed this procedure. This is very important to a martial art-focused thing.
I think Louis Tan was like, he was like the like drunken master guy in Iron Fist, and everyone was like, why is he not Iron Fist?
Yeah. Why is this like, this is a better Iron Fist concept, but yeah. Whatever. We got what we got. The first trailer, when it fully drops, that's really going to make or break it for a lot of people. Like, I'm already on board because I like Mortal Kombat. I like the craziness of the look and feel.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the movie's going to start, like, marketing to, like, a weird angle where it's like, you play the games, you experience the movie, now experience it again. And you're like, oh, no. It's like, are they going to make it seem like it's a... obvious that it's aware of its history, or it's like a clean, like, oh, what Mortal Kombat? This is the first Mortal Kombat movie that ever came out. You know, because like The Legend of Chun-Li did that, where yeah. It's like, you saw the first movie, like, now see this one again, The Legend of Chun-Li. You're like, oh god, no.
Well, hopefully it's like more in line with like the animated movie that came out like last year, Scorpion's Revenge, because that was awesome.
That movie doesn't get like a lot of marketing. That was like marketed a week before it came out.
Yeah.
And it's surprisingly fun because it's a retelling of like the first two games, or.
Yeah, it feels like a remix of like a because like Quan Chi's there and he didn't show up to like what three or whatever, so. But yeah, hopefully get some sort of trailer for this soon. Because it's April. The only glimpse we've gotten is like HBO Max put out like a kind of like a promotion video last week of like, here's, hey, every. Stay home and watch movies on HBO Max. All the movies are going to be on HBO Max. Like, so there's like one clip of like Sub-Zero and like this in motion in this like HBO Max promo, along with like a bunch of other clips of things. Like there was like we were talking about before we started recording, but like the first actual look at like Space Jam 2, isn't that kind of like promo shot?
Which is great. Because we know that it's at least a good amount done, and LeBron actually was making it, because it just seemed like it was a rumor for the longest time, and it was like a myth at this point. It's like any hot basketball player could have been the Michael Jordan role.
Yeah, Space Jam, a new legacy.
It's like Space Jam. It just, who's the hot player right now? It's like Allen Iverson. Like Allen Iverson, and then it's like Space Jam with Was it Jerry Lynn? Like,
Have they said like what like the plot is? Like the Monstars are back again or something?
Nope. That's why I was like, I am the least informed person that Space Jam 2.
So I'm on Wikipedia right now. So like apparently I've not seen this before. Like, but apparently like maybe the plot did come out, but like. Apparently, this is all like a like AI, like they're, it's like VR, like LeBron James and his son get like sucked into like a computer, and then the Looney Tunes are somehow like in the computer as well, so they like team up to like escape this computer.
Are they the same Looney Tunes, or are they just like another Looney Tunes?
They're just like AI Looney Tunes or something.
Yeah. Or I mean, it's like. I'm just thinking, because Looney Tunes back in action, none of the Space Jam lore carried over, right?
No.
Because the Space Jam really does open up a can of worms of understanding how the universe works, where at the center core of our Earth is a portal to a cartoon Earth.
Yeah, an alternate universe of the Looney Tunes.
And they're very aware of the other...
Who are, like, they're like... actors like
yeah that we watch through their world.
Yes, they send like their like antics to us but they really exist, and like but they never come to our
choose not to invade our world.
Yeah, we know them as celebrities, but like they don't ever like appear on Earth
unless they kidnap like our top athlete.
Yes.
But then also, the Monstars are from their outer space, or just outer space in general?
I think the Monstars are from like actual outer space, but like it's just like it's but like cartoon characters are in outer space as well in like the Space Jam universe. And then you get into like like Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, and it just gets crazy. Did you ever play that, Chris?
No.
The game, Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, like the RPG that some like a fan made game that they made. That like it's like Space Jam is canon, and like the ball from Space Jam became like a nuclear weapon that like exploded New York City.
Jesus.
Oh man. But yeah, Space Jam 2 is one of the many. It's also one of the many things that are coming to HBO Max this year. There's also like a very brief glimpse of Kong versus Godzilla, or Godzilla versus Kong, but we'll talk about that next week, because the actual first trailer for Godzilla versus Kong is coming out on Sunday when we're recording this, so next week of the podcast, we will dive into whatever the Godzilla vs. Kong trailer has in it. But, yeah, the last bit of news for this week is that we found out that Ethan Hawke is going to be the main villain for the upcoming Moon Knight show on Disney Plus, which has Oscar Isaac as Mark Spector / Moon Knight. And they didn't reveal who Ethan Hawke is going to be playing. But I mean, it could be anyone, or they could just pretty much do anything, because like no one really knows who Moon Knight's villains are. So
yeah. Like, it's mostly himself. It's like his head. It's like, it's,
yeah,
that's the, like, oh, who's Moon Knight's villain? Like, his mental illness sometimes.
I mean, I guess in, like, the 90s, like, I feel like in the 90s, like, he fought a bunch of, like, the more, like, supernatural Marvel villains, like, more, like, I think he fought Morbius a bunch of times, and, like, he was fighting, like, Werewolf by Night,
It makes sense, because Moon Knight is, like, part mythical, like, protector, and then part, like, Batman ground, like, just, like, grounded villains, like, thugs.
Yeah.
Because he fought, like, mob guys. Like, he fought the Kingpin a few times.
Yeah, he shares a lot of, like, villains, too. Like, he shares a lot of, like, Daredevil and Spider-Man villains. Like, he fights, like Kingpin. Yeah.
Like, well, see, at any point in the Marvel Universe, the Kingpin just, like,
And, like, Bullseye, Taskmaster.
Did he fight Bullseye?
He fought Bullseye a lot. Like, yeah, Taskmaster, I think, was a big villain, possibly, for him for a little bit. Yeah, Jack Russell, aka Werewolf by Night. that's who he talked to me. They gotta bring Jack Russell to the MCU. Yeah. Apparently he fought Hobgoblin. He fought like Madame Mask, like Mr. Hyde, Flag Smasher. Deadpool is a recurring villain, apparently, according to Wikipedia.
Wow. Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's not unique. It's a lot of shared villains, so I don't know. Like, what?
His most famous villains are, like, the ones that are, like, other like the big name Marvel villains that like fight everybody, like any sort of original Moon Knight villains are like very, very obscure. he fought a villain called the Ringmaster. Oh, he did fight Bushman, which I think wasn't. Oh no, was that Bushmaster? I think. There's Bushman, there's Bushmaster, which are like, it's
Bushmaster,
like,
was Luke Cage.
And yeah,
Bushman, yeah. I think, is just like some other dude. I don't know who he fights.
I feel yeah, I think they're like basically this almost the same. Like, they're both like African mercenaries. But yeah, I guess we'll find out. Ethan Hawke is great, so that should be hopefully an interesting face-off between Ethan Hawke and Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, just a bunch of older dudes dress up in like Party City outfits fighting. I like it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about Moon Knight. Moon Knight is like, even if he has like a weird costume, it still works for him.
Yeah, I hope they do like the... like multiple costume thing, like that, like especially like the most recent comic did, where like you can get like Oscar Isaac in like the like classic Moon Knight like cowl and stuff, but also have him in like the like white tuxedo and stuff. And...
Yeah, yeah. Or it's like the series I kind of read was an interesting concept, was the one where he's like locked up in a mental asylum, mm-hmm. and so he just kind of makes one out of just like a straitjacket and. Like a hood. He looks like a bad Klansman, like, to be honest. It just looks like a really, like, old school, like, ooh, this doesn't look good. Like, don't go outside wearing this a lot.
Yeah.
But other times, I like his classic 90s look, where he is just, like, a Egyptian Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, that's obviously going to be, like, if they don't do, if they don't do that one like right away. Like, it's they're gonna build obviously to that one probably.
Mm. Or maybe it's like he's always been Moon Knight, and it's just like maybe they flash back to like his early years and stuff. There's a lot of potential of what they can do with mm-hmm. how they present it, because the fan base is very flexible. I feel like Moon Knight fan, it's like it's definitely a. You get into Moon Knight after getting tired of everyone else, like after a few top tier people.
Yeah. Or if you like the like more like obscure Marvel villain, like because like I definitely like when I was like collecting comics or like when I collect comics, like I'm looking for like kind of like 90s Moon Knight, like 90s Ghost Rider, like Punisher, like.
No, agreed. It's not a definitely not a series that you can just easily read as a kid. It's definitely you appreciate the writing, you appreciate the difference of drama, and it wasn't just like Moon Knight has to run back home to take care of a family member or something, or like hide his identity to a loved one.
Yeah, because he didn't even know like who he was at certain points. Like,
yeah, and I just love that he was basically like this rich person in New York that a lot of other comics didn't recognize or acknowledge, like the other series or whatever. Mm-hmm. He wasn't like Bruce Wayne where it's like someone brings it up, like they know about his like money or he's infamous or something in that community. It's just like, oh no, he's like this rich dude who built like a weird tower that sometimes his jet just leaves from, like a plane just takes off out of.
Yeah, his giant moon ship.
Which is not subtle. Or stealthy. It's like it's just like a giant moon crescent thing that flies out of like this penthouse.
So I think that I don't know if we know when exactly Moon Knight is hitting Disney Plus, but that'll be sometime in the near future at Disney Plus, one of the many Marvel shows that's hitting the service. And that's gonna do it for news to me. So let's actually talk about a Marvel show that's on Disney Plus right now, which is WandaVision, which I think, Chris, you and I both saw the first two episodes of WandaVision.
We have.
Yeah. That was definitely the biggest streaming or, like, talked about thing last weekend was the premiere of WandaVision. Phase 4 of the MCU kicking off in very, very strange fashion.
I totally agree, only because it's a show I can't predict anything.
I have a theory. I'm sure, like, I think everyone has kind of a theory of what's going on, possibly. Mine is that, like, I think, oh, we should probably say, like, spoilers for WandaVision, but I'm sure everyone's probably watched it, so, you haven't seen it yet, like spoilers, I guess, but, like, my theory is, I think, so, I mean, it could change. Like, I could mutate this, or like, it could go both ways. But it's either like, I feel like they're either like Wanda and then like Vision's body or something. Because like, last we knew, Vision was like dead at Infinity War, and like that wasn't resolved. Like, he didn't have magic come back at the end game. So like, his body is still just like a ripped out husk of whatever. But like, I feel like someone like. Found his like is like using his body as like some sort of like supercomputer possibly or something, because like I feel like that was like a big clue in the first episode, was like where like the like company the they computer. Works at is mm-hmm. like he's just like, what do we do? And it's like we compute things. and then I think maybe they like whoever did like kept like is like using Vision's body, like also like captured Wanda to like make like keep him like placated in like they're like they plug them both like some sort of like virtual reality world or whatever. But then, possibly also like maybe because there's all these references to Sword. So like maybe Sword found them, and then like they're trying to like get them like out of like whatever like coma or like a like simulation.
VR zone.
Yeah.
Boss level.
Yeah. Which I mean,
that's a good possibility. Yeah. I just want to know like how she got captured. That probably won't be revealed into Midway or something, but the show just drops you in, and it's definitely not a great show if you're like first time watching a Marvel show or something. This is definitely like a fan service show.
Yeah.
You gotta have watched a good amount of the MCU, Marvel movies, yeah. The MCU stuff, because this is just like drop you in the deep end.
Yeah, and it definitely seems like neither of them are like, it's because I think the big thing like people were thinking was like, oh, like Wanda's like just like making this universe herself, but then she doesn't seem to like really like she there's like she doesn't seem to like know why they're there either. So it's like, I think it's definitely like they're both kind of trapped in this like reality somehow.
I get that like she's the human part, and the thing about Vision is that maybe it is like a reconstruction of what she thinks he would have done.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like him exactly. It's like this weird Wonder Woman 84 where she dreamed him up and she took over like a body of someone else.
Yeah.
But it definitely is a slow burn build up to that moment of the story. Like the one thing I don't like is that you pretty much had to watch the trailer of this whole show to understand why this is happening, where it's like the cryptic, you know, scene breaking realities, the different time jump changes, or like, you know, the different version changes, the TV show aesthetics upgrading and downgrading.
So far, like the first episode was like, it didn't like the aesthetic didn't change until like the last minute of like the last like the second episode. I think possibly in this week's episode, which is probably out right now if you're listening to this, is episode 3. Like I think that jumps ahead to like the 60s or 70s maybe, because the show's gonna like kind of like evolve through like the history of sitcoms basically, and like it's like every episode or like, every couple of episodes is gonna be like evolve to like a different style. But yeah, these first two episodes are like very much 50s, kind of like Dick Van Dyke, Bewitched, like style. With all the like the trappings, like it's very authentic to like those kind of shows. Like it looks like those shows. It like the acting is like those shows. It's like classic setups of like, oh no, the boss is coming for dinner. What are we gonna do? Like,
yeah, I appreciate those kind of nods, and I enjoy how different it is from a typical Marvel.
Yeah, I really enjoyed like the like sitcom stuff, like it's like just like Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, like just like I love the fact that, like they just like it's not even it's just like they just call Vision like everyone calls him that even at work and stuff, mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. Yeah, just like this like just like them interacting with like this like the weird townspeople and stuff. And I love like the second episode where like they're doing like the magic show for like the talent show for the town, and then like Vision accidentally like
it just does like real it things. Just
well he like swallows gum accidentally, which like apparently actually gums up like his like mechanics or whatever, so that he acts drunk and is just like just like doing this like drunken magic show. So yeah, like so definitely it's I feel like it's definitely very funny, and then there's like kind of slowly doling out like the like kind of like mystery of what is actually happening. But yeah, I'm definitely on board. Like I'm definitely gonna keep watching it. Oh yeah. Catherine Hahn is also like fantastic on the show too. Like there's definitely I feel like that's gonna be like some sort of like reveals, like she's gonna be like some other character, like she's gonna be some sort of like significant Marvel villain or character or something. Because if you watch the trailer, it definitely seems like at some point like she is like definitely knows what's going on, and is like aware of like who they are and stuff.
Right, right. She's gonna break free from the brainwash and
yeah. Well, there's also a weird thing too where Monica Rambeau from Captain Marvel's there, but then she's also like brainwashed or like in the simulation because she thinks her name is Geraldine.
Is that who that's it?
In the second, yeah, the second episode, like when like they go like when like Wanda goes to like the Stepford Wives meeting basically, and then like she's like Maria Rambeau is like she's like oh, what's your name? She's like, and she has that moment where she's like, Geraldine.
Wait, what did she play in Captain Marvel?
She's like Captain Marvel's like best friend. Like she was like her like
she didn't her age
sister
then.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like I'm kind of confused because like she'd be a lot older now because it's like 20 years after Captain Marvel.
Well, I mean it's a simulation, Chris. So it's like
okay.
Yeah.
Again, they're just connecting things, and I'm like, all right, so she's just in there. I didn't know that's the same actress.
I'm pretty sure it is. Because I heard there's like there's gonna be that's what it is. Like that might be, so I think that's it's actually like her daughter.
That makes sense.
So like Marie Rambeau's daughter is Monica Rambeau is.
Oh yeah, okay. So it's Monica. So it is, okay. That makes sense. I was like, is that right? And it's like, okay, it makes sense that she is like a young woman is now trapped in there.
Yeah.
All
right. And so like maybe she joined S.W.O.R.D. or like she also was on like maybe she's on the like the whatever mission to like get them like get Wanda and Vision back from whoever took them and then like. Yeah, I feel like it's gonna, like they're either still trapped or S.W.O.R.D. found them and got them back, but they can't get them out of like the
brain
like,
limbo.
Yeah, the whatever like alternate universe they're in or like the like simulation they're in. And is S.W.O.R.D. I think it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had S.W.O.R.D., but like is like whatever the hell Samuel L. Jackson's doing in space with the Skrulls, is that S.W.O.R.D. now or like?
No idea.
Because they had, I think, like season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had S.W.O.R.D. in it, but then they all got like murdered by Hydra or something when Winter Soldier happened.
So S.W.O.R.D. is just gone.
Yeah, I feel like I think they like kind of introduced it as like, and then now like everyone's dead, like. But maybe we'll find out it's like a new iteration of S.W.O.R.D. or something, or like, yeah, it's like tied to like something that's gonna go forward in the MCU. But definitely seems fun so far. So definitely gonna keep checking it out. And then have you seen anything besides WandaVision, Chris?
I started the Netflix show Alice in Borderland.
Okay.
And it's about, it's based on this Japanese graphic novel where these 20-something-year-old guys in, like, Japan get just sucked into a deadly game, a survival game that isn't quite, first episode-wise, like, they don't know if it's, like, a simulation, this is real life, there's no clues, but it's such a weird reality that they're in, and it's being controlled by just, like, this supernatural force that is forcing, like, people to play these, like, survival games, just, like, Saw-like games, just because, and they're trying to figure that out and survive. So the first episode really just sets that up well, where it's like who these characters are, like what Japan's like during like the 2000s. Like it's a modern day story, and it's like the most unlikely people. These three friends get like they basically are just like aimless guys in their 20s trying to figure out their own life. But then, like they just go to the bathroom one day and they come out of the bathroom and then they just like the whole area of like Tokyo is just empty. And then, they spend time wandering around trying to figure out what happened. And then suddenly a TV screen turns on telling them to go to this destination and then play this game. And then the first episode is them trying to figure out the game. And they're met with, like, two stereotypes. Just like, oh, the one person who knows too much and doesn't want to say anything. and a young person, like another person who's played by this like nameless schoolgirl who just like doesn't listen and is immediately killed off. So then you understand like, oh my God, like this is real. But yeah, it's a game. It's a show that basically is a mix of like Battle Royale, the classic Japanese horror action movie, where, you know, you get these people that just like are reevaluating their life and trying to find meaning. And then you have the Saw, where these traps are just like merciless and cruel, but really pushes people to like to something. And that's the gimmick, is that no one knows why this is happening. But you have people who like thrive in this environment, and then they're finding themselves and they're just like being crazy. Or there are people who like, you know, who think that, okay, you know, I have hope, I can fight through this, like I can't wait for things to go back to normal. It's definitely cathartic to see a show like that where it's just like brutal and violent, and yeah, it doesn't hold back on just being a little bloody. And it's very Asian, like it's a Japanese live action show. So I had like, I just came off of watching Sweet Home. So when I started this, I was like, okay, at least like, please move better than Sweet Home. And it sort of does, where you have protagonists who you're not really supposed to like yet. Like they're supposed to be very unlikable, but Sweet Home makes you feel like you have to like these people just to get attached to them. And then it's like, oh, I care about their survival, but it's like, I'm pretty sure you're the main stars. Like you're not dying for at least like a few episodes or whatever. So like all the tension's kind of like removed, but it's not bad. However, the main character has like Sherlock Holmes like deduction, and it comes out of nowhere. like he focuses, because he's like this loser gamer guy who you know, likes playing games, likes solving puzzles. So when he's in this world, he just like, he kind of like figures out that if it's a game, like there are rules, and he you know, that like he's good at these kind of situations. But like it comes off as very like he does like the whole like math in his head, and you see like the characters, and you see him trying to like talk real quick and then kind of jitter around to like make examples so he can like think things through. And it's like, oh, I was like, I looked at my fiance. I was like, is this what's supposed to happen? Like, I missed something? Where was he just like a secret genius? But it's very, like, very specific, like, skills where it's like, at least but the show does point out why he's like, why he noticed these details, but it's like, I would never have noticed that. You know, it's like, oh, so for example, not to spoil much, but like, they enter this, like, game and he figures out measurements by just looking at, like, a car that was outside like an hour, like 10 minutes ago. And so he uses like the car's like dimensions as like a tool, a ruler to kind of like figure out how big the room is and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like that's what I'm saying. It's like, how would you know that? Why do you know that? Mm-hmm. And then if you're good at doing things like that, like very real life math skills, why are you so aimless in life? Like, you should have been someone that was doing this before, and then now it's like you're using your survival, like using it as a survival skill, not just secret survival skill time. Or it's not like he's been in the game long enough where he had a, you know, he developed it or he trained it. First game, first episode, he automatically is like a secret genius. And I'm like, what? No. But whatever, like the story had to move. So that's why like it picks up way faster than Sweet Home. I'm gonna give it a shot. Definitely gonna like ride it through. It must have been popular enough for Netflix to like how the feedback's coming, because they're definitely making a season two. Mm-hmm. I know the graphic novel came out a year or two ago, so you know, I just never heard of it. Netflix doesn't really market it too much. It's just like something that's like, oh, you've seen something kind of remotely Asian, like maybe this is for you. Like, it's definitely not like something I would see on the TV. Like, you know what I mean? There's no, like, ads for it. It's just, like, something that's just on Netflix. But I would say if you like, you know, Asian, if you like animes, it's really good because it's, like, a really decent live-action anime. It's, like, mm-hmm. certain way they act and talk is, like, just like an anime. But maybe not for everyone, but it's enjoyable if you do watch it. Maybe like, the first episode, either you like it or hate it. It's definitely, that's the hump to get over.
So, anything else, Chris?
I feel like I watched something, but I think that's it for now.
Well, I guess I'll keep it on TV to start with. So I saw the not quite as big a mess as I think everyone thought it would be, but still very bizarre. First episode of season 2 for Batwoman.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah, that premiered this past Sunday, which, you know, obviously had the gigantic shadow of like Ruby Rose just like left the show. So the main character show, Batwoman, is gone. It wasn't like a disaster, but it was definitely still like very weird. Like there was definitely like a kind of a Poochie thing going on where like everyone's just like, Where's Kate? It was the thing where like if Poochie's not on screen, everyone should be talking about him. Like But I guess spoilers for season 2. Basically what like how they kind of work around things is that they set up at the end toward the end of season 1 that they're like kryptonite is the only thing that can like penetrate the bat suit. So like, you know, like the main villain Alice was trying to get like make a kryptonite because Kate Kane had a piece of kryptonite that like Supergirl gave her, and sort of like, you know, the classic like if I go nuts like you need to like stop me with this sort of thing. So but then Alice was trying to get it because it could penetrate the bat suit, so she wanted to like make a bullet out of it and kill Batwoman with it. Luke Fox, who, you know, is like Lucius Fox's son, who's like Batwoman's like tech guy, was like, you need to destroy this, like if this thing can like kill you, you need to get rid of it. Even though, like, you told Supergirl that you'd, like, keep it to stop her if you needed to, but, like, it's too dangerous for you. So, they basically set up that, Kate went to National City to find out if there was a way to, like, stop, like, destroy Kryptonite. And then on our plane, her plane on the way back blew up. And so, that's, like, basically we're supposed to assume that, like, Kate died in this plane crash.
Okay.
And then...
Wait, did she actually appear as an actress, or it was
They did not appear. They didn't have a. There was no final appearance from Ruby Rose. There wasn't like a.
Wow. So off screen.
There wasn't a shot from behind. Like, is that Ruby Rose? No. Okay. It's just like, oh, this plane crash, and then like here's the bat suit. But yeah. So basically, the new Batwoman, who's played by Javicia Leslie, who is literally homeless in a van down by the river.
Oh my god.
like Chris Farley style. She like the plane crashes like right next to her van, and then she finds the bat suit, and then she like takes it because and then she wants to use it to like get revenge on when she and her like adopted mother like wanted to like rent an apartment, and when they went to the apartment, like this like a bunch of squatters were in there, and they murdered her adopted mom and like the landlord, and like beat her and like left her for dead, but she like survived. So she's like, she takes the bat, she's like, I'm gonna get revenge on like the people who did this. And then it turns out
how long ago was that happened?
It seems like weeks or months ago maybe or something. She's been living in her van and like going to like whatever like the her like social worker and stuff, but she doesn't have a job or anything. But then it turns out that like the squatters were actually part of like Alice's gang, so that's how they're gonna like I guess that's how they're like you're gonna like give her, like t- like make her like the new like protagonist is like, oh, she wants revenge on Alice now. And it's also weird because like everyone else is still there. So like every other character is still there. Now they just had to reformat everything to be like, now you have a new plot that doesn't have anything to do with the main character of the show.
And it's just like that's just the most like, all right, so the main villain,
yeah,
is just the main
villain who is Batwoman's sister is now has no sister to like bounce off against. So now it's just like this random person who like somehow in the past like that she like wronged in the past is now like like gonna be like up against her.
I'm just confused by what Alice's goals is. Just I killed a squatter. Well, like that was my plan. Like what?
Yeah. Well, now they set up that like there's some sort of like assassin or like criminal like terrorist or something named Sophia or something that like was like is like behind like killing Kate. So I guess there's no body. So if Ruby Rose ever wanted to like come back at some point, they would be like, oh, she survived the plane crash or whatever. But
there you are. We just never looked for you.
Yeah. But now Alice is like, oh, you robbed like you, this like this terrorist like robbed me of like my revenge plot, so I'm gonna like go to war with her now. And there also definitely seem to be like they definitely cut short like this like plot they set up at the end of season one where like Tommy Elliot, aka Hush, like they gave him Bruce Wayne's face.
Oh, okay.
And that was like the big cliffhanger of season two or season one. And it seemed like that was like if, because I mean like Kate is like Bruce's cousin or whatever, so that would have been like a big like probably a season long arc, like at least part of the season arc of like, oh, like your cousin is back, and he must be Batman again or whatever. It's so, like, but they basically just, like they get rid of him in his first episode back. Like he like it's like, oh, he's gone, he's arrested, like he's gone now,
and he's gone again.
Although they do They do kind of reveal like what the like Arrowverse Batmobile looks like, which is just like it's sort of similar to like what it looks like kind of like what the Batman car looks like, where it's kind of like it's more like just like a muscle car, although like the Batwoman Batmobile is like kind of just it kind of looks just like a Porsche or something, but with like missile launchers and stuff on it. So I guess that was kind of cool, like you see like the Batmobile finally. Although it's Tommy Elliot driving it, not the new Batwoman or anything. So,
but why does he get access to the Batmobile?
Oh, because he like showed up and like everyone was and like Luke Fox was like, "Hey, Bruce, you're back. Let's go to the Batcave." And then like because like Tommy Elliot's obsessed with Bruce Wayne, like he knew like everything about him.
I see.
And then he like blows a hole in the wall of the Batcave, and like it's like, oh, there's the Batmobile. There's the Batmobile. It's been here like literally the entire first season. We could have used the Batmobile, but like none of us knew about it. We didn't like go behind that wall and like find the Batmobile. So
thanks, Bruce. And he's like, yeah. What?
So yeah, so not as big a disaster as I think everyone thought it would be, but like definitely one of the weirdest like. Just like we're just like developments in the, like a TV show in like recent memory of just, like, and your main character's gone.
Oh my god! Wow, Ruby Rose did not even want to show up to just like do an exit thing, or get like a lookalike for like a back shot just so she could like walk away from the cave or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's just she was in a plane crash. So, but I guess the like plane crash slash nobody like leaves it open and like just it like it's like if you ever want to come back, like we'll just like say you like washed up like in like a different part of Gotham or something. Like,
do you think she'll come back? I don't think so.
No, I mean that'd be like really that'd be really strange.
Like, and then, what, the new girl gets on a plane and that blows up, too?
Her van blows up. But yeah, so I watched that. And then as far as movies, I saw The Road, the, I think, 2009 movie, which I for some reason I just never got around to seeing that.
You've never seen The Road?
No, I didn't see it in theaters, and then I don't think it's really on streaming. Like, I don't think it has been on streaming really, or it was very infrequently on streaming.
Makes sense.
But I finally got it from my Netflix Blu-ray /DVD shipping discs to me. So yeah, I finally got around to seeing The Road. It's very good. Very very dark.
It's like a realistic.
Yeah, very very realistic. Like if the apocalypse happened, it would be like this probably.
These poor people who just want to survive or shrug through just what people lost their it's like bandits and just people that are
cannibals and and they didn't really explain what the apocalypse was. I think you're supposed to assume it's maybe a nuclear war or something, but it's just
everything. Or illness.
Literally every plant, every animal, almost every person on the planet just dies. So, but yeah, just very well done, very dark and grim, trying to make their way through what's left of America. They're trying to get to the coast, and I guess they're trying to make their way south because maybe it'll be warmer or it'll be possibly better south of where they are. But yeah, I mean, Viggo Mortensen is really great in it. Another one of his very disturbing body transformations. He's so disturbing skinny in that movie. there's a shot where he's shaving and because they found if there's one brief moment of joy when they find this abandoned bomb shelter that has actual food in it and stuff, and so he and his son get cleaned up and he's shaving, but he takes his coat and he's jacket off and stuff, and he's basically just a skeleton. And then a bunch of random cameos in that movie too. Robert Duvall shows up. And Guy Pearce.
I forgot Guy Pearce is in that.
Yeah, Guy Pearce is just at the end. And then Michael Kenneth Williams from The Wire. I think it was before right after The Wire happened. It's just Omar from The Wire is in this movie? What? But yeah, definitely if you haven't seen it and you're into post-apocalypse stuff. If you're into The Last of Us and stuff, and you haven't seen The Road, I'd say definitely check out The Road.
It definitely is an inspiration.
Yeah. I think if the Last of Us HBO show has a similar tone to The Road, then it should be a pretty or at least visual style The Road, then it should be a pretty good adaptation of the game. And then I also on the complete opposite of the spectrum of movies, I saw A Gnome Named Norm.
Oh, why, Zach?
Well, because it was the latest How's It Made episode, and I'm just I should probably watch that. That seems a crazy movie to watch. It was a great episode of How's It Made. Have you ever seen that movie, Chris?
No, but I heard it's not great.
It is insane. It's imagine if you combined Leprechaun and 48 Hours and then made it into a movie. Cause it's basically a buddy cop movie with Anthony Michael Hall and then a Stan Winston created gnome character named Norm, who's puppeted by 12 guys, and they have to team up to bring down a diamond smuggler or diamond dealer, and then there's also a murder to solve and stuff. So it's like a buddy cop actual plot action movie plot, but with this fucking gnome guy, gnome character. And it was directed by Stan Winston. It was his follow up to Pumpkinhead. So Pumpkinhead was his directorial debut, and then he followed it up with A Gnome Named Norm.
Oh my god, it's a weird follow up.
Yeah, and this is I think Norm was one of his his like one of the characters that he created like his workshop and stuff. He's just like, we have to figure out a way to get like to like make a vehicle for Norm. Norm needs a movie.
Why does he need like a vehicle franchise?
Yeah, and it was like they shot it in 1988, and then it like it came out in 1990, but then they got pulled from theaters, and then they got released in 1992 and stuff. So it's just like it was like this like weird like delayed release and like almost got canceled release, and then like finally came out. Robert Zadar is in it. Like Jerry Orbach from Law and Order is what? In it, and he's like Jerry Orbach is like treating this like it is Law and Order, like he's treating like very like deadly seriously. Like it's such a like, I mean, he's amazing, but it's like this, like it's such a like this movie does not deserve like him like giving this much like
Oscar dramatic performance. I'm not saying Oscar worthy, but Jesus.
Yeah. And then like Anthony Michael Hall is just like, I don't know what he's like it's not clear like what his character is supposed to like, if he's supposed to be because he's like a rookie cop who's a detective, but then like they're giving him this like very like high profile like operation to run, but then like everyone hates him, and he's like, and it, like he's like dresses like a like he dresses like in like it's like very eccentric clothes, like he wears like snakeskin ties and like leather jackets, and like it's like, so he's like this very like eccentric like cop that like everyone hates.
And why? Because he's like, oh, I'm like, he's dressing like from the yuppie era 90s, and it's like the 80s.
Yeah, it seems like the, I think at one point maybe they say he was a rich kid or something that just like became a cop or something.
That makes sense.
And everyone's just like, oh, why are you a cop? Like you should just be a stockbroker or something.
It's then, like, you know, it would've been better if like, oh, you're supposed to be like a movie star or something, and it's like,
yeah,
they call him Hollywood. It's like a term of endearment for him, but it's a they mean it. They're like, oh,
yeah,
screw you.
But then, but yeah, but then, so he's tracking down these like diamond smugglers or whatever, diamond dealers that are dealing illegal diamonds. But then, he's posing as like the buyer or whatever. But then like the buy goes bad, the broker gets blown up by a bomb. But then Norm is there because Norm has come from like the gnome underworld to like bring like their like gem called the Lumen to the surface, because they have to bring their gem to like the surface of Earth and like shine, put it up to the sun, and the sun like charges it up for like 10 years. So that, and that gives them like light down in the underworld or whatever, or like in like the bowels of the earth or whatever. But then like the Lumen gets like stolen by in like this diamond deal thing. So then it's like Anthony Michael Hall and like Norm have to team up to like track down the diamond dealers and like figure out what's like who blew up the guy and stuff. And then like Norm, like he can speak English, but like he has like all these like weird phrases, and like constantly like they dress him in like disguises, but like it's like disguises like that like no one it's like so obvious that he's like just like this weird, like weird hairy creature, not like a child. So it's just, like so they put him like a child like bite like a little like beach outfit or something, but it's just, like this is not a child, this is like a weird hairy man or like a weird hairy creature. But then also like no one reacts to him. Everyone's just like, oh, all right, it's Gnome, I guess, whatever. Like there's a scene where they Norm gets arrested, and like Anthony Michael Hall is like also like in trouble. It's like, you screwed up the case, like Anthony Michael Hall, like you're in trouble. You're gonna get suspended. And, like,
you're a recluse. You're trying to unexplained crime solving.
Yeah, your little friend here is also we're arresting him, but we don't know who he is. it's like a scene where like Jerry Orbach is like in his office with Norm, like interrogating him, like he's like a regular human like suspect, and like slapping across the face and stuff. And it's just like, what, like what are you doing, Jerry? It's a fucking gnome. Like, you're not like, no one's curious about like what the hell this thing is. Like. And they're giving you a physical, and they're just like, this is kind of weird. Like, it's, yeah, it's nuts. It's completely nuts. It's on Tubi TV, I think, for free if you want to watch it. it's definitely a very weird entry in like Anthony Michael Hall's catalog and like Stan Winston's catalog. Because right after this, Stan Winston made this, and then he went on to, immediately afterwards, he made, Terminator 2. He did all the stuff for that, and Jurassic Park. So it's just, Stan Winston made No Name Norm, and then, went on to make, some of the greatest special effects movies of all time. It's such a weird, footnote of, the late 80s, early 90s. For pretty much everyone involved.
Makes sense, where it's you kind of have to make a movie to keep your skills up, and it's just I'll make this no movie. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely shoved aside. I've seen the cover, never saw the movie, and it's you saw the cover, and it's just this?
I think this was a staple of Blockbuster and stuff, and it's just on the shelf of Blockbuster. It was in the '90s, it was just on the shelf of Blockbuster all the time. But no one rented it.
The gnome has a cool leather jacket, I think.
At some point, maybe. Anthony Michael Hall wears a leather jacket. At one point, Norm is dressed like a baby, and then Anthony Michael Hall is pushing around in a stroller. and then that's supposed to be his disguise.
Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall looks so goddamn young in the photo. But did you know the European title for this movie is? Or I think it's they call it something else. But
it has a million alternate titles. It's a Gnome Named Norm. Upworld is because that's what Norm calls Earth is Upworld. So that's an alternate title. I think Gnome Cop is another one. What did you find, Chris?
I said Upworld, and I was like, what is this? Because, the one poster, I guess, from another country, Norm's on that up part of the Upworld, and then other shoots where it's the same still, Norm is, just riding Michael Anthony Hall's butt.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, oh, that doesn't look good.
I think they're doing, the classic, they're, leaning their backs against each other shot, you know?
But is a perfect butt-to-hip ratio. I'm like, ah. Norm, yeah. Can you not lean on that? That just looks weird.
Mm-hmm. So I saw that. And then last thing quick is I saw the big Netflix movie from last week, which is Outside the Wire. I think Netflix said they're releasing a movie every single weekend for the entire year. they have enough movies every week is going to be a new Netflix movie at some point. Including big ones there's the Red Notice, which is the Rock, Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds movie and stuff. So it's pretty huge ones are coming. Outside the Wire stars Anthony Mackie and Damon Idris, who is on that FX show Snowfall. It's the 80s cocaine show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically Anthony Mackie is a android cyborg super soldier. It's set in the year 2036, so it's future warfare. There's a war in Eastern Europe between the Ukraine and Russia. And the U.S. is kind of there in this DMZ as peacekeeping force. The U.S. is in this war, this new war is deployed for the first time these robotic soldiers called Gumps. Who are they're full on they look kind of Neil Blomkamp esque robots. They're they kind of look they're from Chappie or something, or District 9 or something. They have camera heads and they're painted camouflage. They're very you've seen the this kind of similar robot design before. They also kind of look like. They kind of look like Boston Dynamics, Big Dog and all that stuff, all those mm-hmm. Robots that Boston Dynamics makes. It's kind of similar to that kind of stuff, but just made into a big soldier looking robot.
Just big refrigerator.
With arms. With a camouflage giant bipedal robot with like machine guns on it and stuff. But yeah, but Anthony Mackie's like this new, like he's like a new, like sentient, like android. He's like translucent skin, and he's classified, like no one knows he actually is like an android. But yeah, but Damon Idris is like this drone pilot who he disobeys an order, like makes like his own like judgment call, and like he blows up like a truck with his drone that had the missile launcher in it, but he killed two Marines that were like kind of trapped nearby because they were injured and like
collateral.
Yeah, there was cloud damage. So he basically gets sent from like the drone like base in Nevada to like the front lines of like the war, and then gets assigned to like Captain Leo, who's Anthony Mackie, and then they go on a mission to like kind of track down this like terrorist leader who's like kind of running the whole like Russian operation. Basically, he has Russia's like approval to like do this war for them, and then this whole thing with like there's like nukes involved and all sorts of other stuff. It's fine. it's like
the trailer, I think, gives me enough detail where yeah. It's like no one trusts the robot, but the robot is doing good.
There's decent action. There's some twists at the end, or twists like toward like the end, or toward like the end of the second act into the third act there, like, but it's not really like it's stuff you've seen before. Like, it's not doing anything like too like, oh my god, this is like changing like the action genre or anything. It's just like you've seen like stuff like this before, and there's kind of like some like Blade Runner sort of like thing of like what does it mean to be human kind of stuff, where it's like they're doing a thing where, like, Damon Idris, who's, like, the human drone pilot, is, like, more, like, logical and, like, cold than, like, Anthony Mackie, who is, like, the actual robot. Because, like, he's, like, wisecracking and, like, more human than, like, the actual human guy. And it's just, like, oh, you, like, this, like, Damon Idris, you need to, like, learn to, you need to be more human and, like, more empathetic to people. Like you're more of a robot than this actual robot.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it's like, you know, can humans be heartless like a robot, and then can robots be compassionate like a human? And you get this like struggle with any kind of AI partner movie or something like that. It's a classic formula.
So they kind of get into that a little bit, but then it kind of just like they kind of any sort of like big question or like big idea stuff kind of just like gets flushed out of the way at the end. It's fine. Like if you're looking just for like a decent action movie to watch on Netflix, it's a decent way to spend like an hour, like 2 hours. There's a couple like cool, like because like Anthony Mackie is like a android, so like he's like able to like move super fast and like he has super strength and stuff, so they do some cool stuff with the action for it, but like he doesn't really have any sort of like cool like powers or anything. He's just like is able to move fast and like punch people through walls and stuff. So it's, mm-hmm. it's like there's no like cool like robot powers or anything that he has. It's just like, oh, he's just like very fast. He's like he's kind of like the Flash or something. Like he's just like a super strong guy, and he can absorb like bullets more because like they like just like kind of like impact his skin and like then he can keep going because he can absorb the pain or whatever. So like, and like the only cool like robot thing to do is like they make his like skin like see through, and then you can see like his like inner mechanisms and stuff. And then there's like one scene where like they have like one scene where like somebody they had like cut something out of him, and then so it's like this like, oh yeah, cut through like the translucent skin and stuff. And like, yeah, pull out this like tracking beacon in me.
Yeah, I mean, that part, I feel like, in the trailer, it was a little, like, too sinister, and it's not like it was conveyed that, you know, no one trusts the robot, like, the enemy or allies. It just seems like the government's, like, aware that this robot program isn't perfect, but we have this prototype that is, like, still not perfect either. Come on, man. Like, he's a one-man army. It's like, they should probably put him with more humans and humanize him. Don't just, I get that he's, like, dangerous because no one knows exactly what the robot can predict, but they treat him like an outcast already. And it's like, that's the worst thing you can do to this robot person.
Yeah. And there's also besides Anthony Mackie and like the Gumps robots, there's not really any other cool like future warfare stuff. Like there's like Call of Duty Advanced Warfare where you got there's cool new guns and cool new tech and stuff. Like everything else besides like the robots is just like normal stuff. Like they're still using like the same Predator drones. They're still using them like
regular more modern things.
Yeah, the same guns. There's like no. You know, there's not any cool like laser guns or like any sort of like cool like military tech. Like none of the soldiers have like exosuits or anything. So it's just like it feels kind of like that. That's kind of like a missed opportunity to have some cool. It's 15 years in the future or whatever. So like you have like possibly some cool stuff.
But then your Tesla car is now this robot.
Yeah.
The one thing is, I wish is the enemy also had awesome robotic.
Oh, they actually, there are Russian robots that like terrorists got like you take over and use for them, but they can transform to like basically just like gun emplacements. So they have like a big machine gun on them, and then they like transform themselves into basically a turret, which is pretty cool. It sort of feels like. So if you took like a Neil Blomkamp movie or something, or like a sort of like if there's a cool like you know like foreign like future warfare movie or something, and then this is like the generic Hollywood version of it, where it's just like this is like the like RoboCop remake to like the original RoboCop or something, where it's just like it doesn't have a lot of personality or like it's kind of like flat as far as like the style and stuff, but it's fine. It's definitely now up to level like Extraction or something last year. So hopefully the Netflix kind of like action stuff
back into the John Wick stuff instead of the high sci-fi things. I imagine their hand-to-hand combat was like a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's definitely just like very like Anthony Mackie's just kind of like zooming around and like punching people and then like they're dead and like with one punch or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah, there's only one kind of cool fight where like Anthony Mackie's kind of like it kind of reminds you a little bit of like Upgrade a little bit, you know, but also not, like not as stylish or as visceral as like Upgrade was, but it's doing the Upgrade thing where it's very staccato, like it's like because he's a robot he can like do like very like precise moves and stuff, so it's like there's like a fight where like he's holding like a hostage and like using his gun to like shoot other guys, and it's like he's like twisting the other guy around in these very specific ways, like using the gun in specific ways and stuff.
Gotcha.
But not as nowhere near as stylish or as well done as like Upgrade or something. It's very flat and generic kind of like, but if you're on Netflix, if you're scrolling around, if you want to like, if you're a fan of Anthony Mackie, it's not a waste of time to watch it, but there's definitely better action stuff on Netflix, especially like the original stuff, like especially last year, like Extraction or the Old Guard or something, or even like Project Power I think was better than this one. But so that's gonna do it for me this week, so we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We have a bunch of stuff up there. We got our first Gamebox video game article of the year is up there right now. You can check that out. We played a couple games, and hopefully we'll get more as the year goes on. And all the regular stuff is up there as well. Definitely come back next week. Next week on the site, check back because we're going to have our Lionheart commentary. We watched Lionheart recently, so you can watch that along with us next week. The Jean-Claude Van Damme classic. And yeah, so I know all the other regular features are up there as well. So head over, check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.